episode 380 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Top Cow Thursday episode, and today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to be talking about a series that came out from Top Cow starting in 2014, and it never finished. It's Rise of the Magi, written by Mark Silvestri. The art is by Sumai Kesgen. Colors are by Jason Smith. So I absolutely love this series. I felt like it was an instant classic when it first came out. But unfortunately, I think that the sales just didn't live up to what they needed to in order for the series to be finished. I've asked Mark about it a few times over the years, and he keeps saying that they're going to release it as a graphic novel with all the material collected, but it just hasn't happened yet. And I even had a cool Rise of the Magi shirt at one point that I lost. I don't know where the heck it went. I was so disappointed to have misplaced it. But anyway, I'm going to talk about the issue zero that came out on Free Comic Book Day in 2014 in this episode. And I think over the next couple months, I'll talk about all five of the issues that were released. And hopefully someday we will get the end of the story and the rest of the issues will see the light of day, or it'll all get collected and released in a trade paperback. As I said, I've heard rumors that maybe it may happen as early as later this year. And that would be awesome because, again, I think this is a story that flew under a lot of people's radar, but it's really, really interesting. So right away from the first page, Mark Silvestri gives us a lot of what we need to know, and it's a really cool visual image as well. There's a black sphere that's floating above the ground, and there's a spotlight over it. And the word balloons say, there is a power that exists everywhere. There are a few that know what this power is, but most do not. Since the dawn of thought, this power has been labeled many things. Some refer to it as God, some see it more as a stark force of nature, while others, in a galaxy far, far away, refer to it simply as the Force. The most straightforward and scientifically accurate term, though, is magic. The black orb is not very large, only about the size of a basketball, but it is made up of all the magic that exists, past, present, and future. This is it. There is no more. This is important because magic makes everything possible. Without it, there is nothing. The orb has been protected from any harm or misuse by the most powerful spell ever cast, a spell thousands of years old and believed unbreakable. A small chip mars the orb's smooth surface. That chip, no bigger than a grain of sand, could, with but a few gestures and words, destroy a world. Moments ago, the unbreakable spell was broken, and that piece of pure, undiluted magic was stolen by persons unknown and for reasons unknown. However, what can be assumed with great confidence is that the thieves intend to do us harm. So I think with this opening page and this kind of exposition, this monologue, what have you, it's an incredibly powerful image, just because it is so stark and so simple. And the concept that Silvestri has come up with is also so simple. It's definitely an adventure story, a fantasy story with crazy, kooky ideas like a walnut is your cell phone, or you lick a frog to cast a spell that makes you invisible, and things like that. The story is just filled with so much little fun nuggets like that. And the art style by Sumai Kesgen is kind of cartoonish, so it suits this kind of fantasy story that's being told. And we're kind of dropped right in the middle, too, without a lot of explanation. As the series goes on, it comes to make more and more sense. You know, obviously there's a conspiracy going on with magic stolen and things like that. But As far as the Zero issue goes, we meet our main character right away. His name is Asa, and he works at his father's flying carpet repair shop. And he likes to read comics. His father doesn't really approve of that. He says it's time for Asa to get his head out of the clouds and start realizing that he needs to grow up and be responsible. He has a real knack for fixing carpets and rugs, just like Asa's father does, and his father before him, and his father before him. But all Asa wants to do is have a life of adventure. We learn his brother is one of the spell guard. So one of the guards that actually guards that basketball-sized orb of magic. But his father doesn't see it that way. He says, you know, your brother's big and strong and a great fighter, and that's where his talents lie, but your talents lie in fixing rugs. So Asa, as a lot of teenagers do, chooses to rebel rather than listen to his father. So he calls up his friend on the aforementioned Walnut cell phone and asks him to meet him at Crystal City and don't forget the stuff. And when he does meet his friend at Crystal City, his friend is the one that gives him the spell frog. He says he basically imbued the frog with sight and invisibility, and all you need to activate the spell is to say the word and then lick the frog. Yeah, gross, right? But Asa's like, sure, whatever, I'm going to give it a try. You know, this is what guys do, right? He wants to stop reading about life and he wants to start living it. You know, how many people can say they've seen the orb in person? So he does make himself invisible, goes over and tries to talk to his brother, who's marching as one of the spell guard, tries to touch his brother, and then his finger goes right through him and realizes that everything that he's seen is not actually real. So he pulls the frog out of his pocket. He says, sight, licks the frog, and he has true sight once again, and he realizes that there's blood on the ground. There's wounded spell guards, rather, all around. And when he finds one that's injured, it's actually Rey. And Rey's like, Asa, what are you doing here? Get out of here before it's too late. And he tries to help Rey to his feet when Asa sees a bunch of demons and a guy leading them. As one of the demons remarks, hey, that kid can see us. And the man that's leading the demon says, so it would seem, gut him. And we get the message to be continued in Rise of the Magi #1. So again, I think it's a really fun story. It's a really interesting story. We get about 28 pages of story here. I know I kind of, you know, flew through it pretty quick, but I just think it's a really incredible story. I think not enough people read it the first time around, obviously. So I wanted to just come on here and talk a little bit about this Zero issue and see if we can't drum up a little interest and maybe get Top Cow to finally release that graphic novel. And the other thing about it has really cool Mark Silvestri covers, and it is his story. And, you know, I think a lot of people consider Mark one of the really talented artists of his generation, you know, one of the guys that helped found Image. You know, Jim Lee talks about him being the best artist of the lot of those guys that went over and did found Image. But I think not a lot of people realize just how good of a storyteller and an idea man that Mark is. Just because he hasn't written a lot of stuff. And that's not to say that he can't, or that he shouldn't, or that he didn't. He's not known for that, right? Like most people, when, you know, they hear the name Mark Silvestri, they think of that, incredible art. And I think that this series really should have gotten a lot more, attention than it did because it is so, so good. And again, I'd love to have the end of the story at some point. So going to keep talking about Rise of the Magi, as I said, over the next few months or so and see if we can't get a conclusion to the story at some point. So I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode. I'll definitely be talking about more Rise of the Magi coming up pretty soon. We're also going to be returning to the Top Cow chronology really soon. I thought about actually doing the next issue of the chronology for this episode, but ultimately I decided to talk about Rise of the Magi, the zero issue instead, because the next issue of Top Cow chronology that we're doing is going to be the Witchblade number 10, which is the first appearance of Jackie Estacado and the darkness, if you will. So for that reason, I was like, I really want Manny to be here to be able to talk about that with me, just because it is such an important issue. And unfortunately, he couldn't make it tonight. So that's part of the reason I decided to talk about Rise of the Magi instead. So I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening, as always. Don't forget, we are available on iTunes and Stitcher. We really appreciate any reviews you give us on those platforms, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. That really helps boost our profile, literally raises our podcast up the list when someone does a search for comic book podcasts. So we really appreciate you helping us out in that way. I'm also very grateful for all you listeners out there. Numbers have been really, really growing. They've increased every month for like 6 months straight, which is pretty much unheard of for a podcast. So again, we very much appreciate everybody listening. Don't forget, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes, as well as all our convention coverage. I will be at Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con this weekend, Friday and Saturday. So if you're going to be there, let me know. Be happy to meet up with you and hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard. Take a picture, find out what you like about the show and what you don't. Also, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. You can also find past episodes on iTunes and Stitcher as well. Oh, and speaking of conventions, Manny and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in a few weeks as well. So again, be sure you're following us on all those social platforms. There'll be a lot of content coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.